Commission, if you've not done so already, please silence your cell phones. Randy, any changes to the agenda?
No, sir.
Okay, great. Well, I want to get the invocation first. Folks, we're going to have an invocation by Minister Preston Free from the First Christian Church. If you'll remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance right afterwards, we'd appreciate it. Minister, please.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for opportunities we have like this in our country to come peacefully, God, to try to govern this great city, this wonderful place you've allowed us to live in. And we recognize around the world a lot of people aren't this fortunate. And we also think back to our own history where people have literally given their lives for us to be able to do this today. So help us to not take this lightly. We have a great responsibility, but a wonderful privilege at the same time. I thank you for the men and women up here who serve this city, who give their time, make sacrifices with their own lives and their own family, God. Lord, we recognize you're God, we're not, and therefore we need your wisdom in helping to make the best decisions for all the people. So God, that's what we're asking, for wisdom, for patience, for peace. I pray you bless these folks here today who participate, that it may be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Thank you very much for being here today. Thank you for taking care of our community as you do.
I appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Okay, folks, there's no change to the agenda. With that, I'll seek a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Mayor's report. Before I get started on that, I'd like to just announce that we had the inaugural City of Winter Park Amateur Golf Championship this weekend. And Randy and staff, thank you. I was stopped this morning by a gentleman, just said he wasn't even playing it, but he went and he walked the course to be part of it and just said how great a job it was, or a great presentation by the city. So please make sure we thank everybody over there that was involved. It was really nice showing. Our winner was Mark Spencer, who shot a 28 and a 34 for a combined score of 62, but the 28 is the new official course record since changing the course up. Our runner-up was Reed Berry, and the juniors, Michael Mays, shot a 69 to win, and the runner-up there was Andrew Clark, who shot a 70. So congratulations to all those. Kyle, where are you, buddy? I'm going to let you handle this.
Sure.
I'm just going to come down for the picture.
Hey, that's the good part, right? So I am pleased to be in front of you today to acknowledge a longstanding business, Poland Short, PA, representing. We've actually got Frank Pohl here with us today. Their firm is an attorney's firm located just actually on the other side of the if you want to take that, sure. Located on the other side of the public safety building. And actually, Frank, about 2 years ago, is now part of Gunster, which is a statewide attorney's organization where they specialize in some commercial litigation and other commercial endeavors. So his original firm, Pohl & Short PA, started in 1993. So we do have a longstanding commitment by Mr. Pohl, over 25 years, which is certainly something that we value in this community. Mr. Pohl actually also is very, very generous with his community contributions and service, including I got to share a story about how they use their parking lot as staging areas for a number of nonprofit and other local organizations, schools, for fundraising. Mr. Pohl has also served on a number of civic boards, including the Rollins College Board of Entrepreneurship, City of Winter Park Real Estate Task Force, Stormwater Management Board, Winter Park Chamber of Commerce, and Winter Park Memorial Hospital Foundation. So we certainly want to wish Mr. Pohl and his group and thank them for their continued commitments to Winter Park and providing an excellent example of community service and what it is to really take a firm and grow in Winter Park and choose to stay here. So we certainly thank you, sir. And
not only that, also, I'm sorry to interrupt, just as a family, I know you've been so involved, and Mrs. Pohl has served on Public Arts Advisory, I know. Are you still on that board? Is it?
No.
You turned out last year, I think. Yeah. So I know the family's been very involved in the city too. So not just from a business perspective, from a family perspective, we appreciate it. I'd be remiss if I didn't give Mr. Weldon an opportunity to make a comment because I know he's such good friends with Mr. Pohl.
Well, I've known Mr. Pohl now for 25 years, and I've got to say that he can work out in a gym harder than anybody I know.
There were a lot of people that were lined up to speak. I had to censor them. So that was it. That's all we allowed. But congratulations. Come on.
Well, you know, I had to schedule this award for a quarter when there wasn't a lot of controversy because I didn't want to have to get in line to get in the door. So I appreciate that you all are allowing the city to be calm today. But I really would like to say that it's a privilege to live in Winter Park, to work in Winter Park. And when you really think about it, a community is made up of people, and the people that we have in Winter Park, for some reason, are just the best people in the entire country. So thank you.
Presenting my board appointments for this year. I have a few minor changes, and I'm going to move the entire list. We have Kareem Arja, who is currently on code compliance. I'm moving him to the UAB as an alternate, and I'm filling his spot on that I had originally had for him on code compliance with Daniel Butts, who's coming off of EDAB, I believe it was.
CRA.
Thank you. Lakes and Waters, I have Tom Smith going to a full position rather than an alternate position as Jeff Bedine, I hope I pronounced his name properly, had to step away due to requirements in his schedule. So that leaves an alternate spot open on that. Other than those, I will move these appointments.
I'll second.
Okay, discussion.
Yeah, no, I just had one question.
Sure.
On there. And just, there's a couple folks that are going to be on the Economic Advisory Board that are moving from other boards.
Mm-hmm.
I did see Mr. Naylor from New Plant. I think that's a great location for him, by the way. Something he's very good at. But I just wondered, is there any specific reason that those people were switched from one board to the other board?
They've requested.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we'll open up the floor to public comment. Any motion to address the commission on these items, please step forward. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Sure. Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you all very much. Thank you to the people who give of their time to serve the city on these advisory boards. I think it's a total of, how many were there, Cindy? 148 or so?
Something.
It's a big number. So we appreciate their service to the community. Brandy.
And I also appreciate you going through all those names because I only looked at a few. It takes a while.
Did take a lot, but I'm glad to do it.
Thank you.
Brandy, City Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Speaking of the boards and appreciating them, our board appreciation happy hour is scheduled for June 8th from 5:30 to 7:30. So we'll be getting those invitations out this week. I just wanted to let you know, of all the dates everybody looked at, that was the one that worked for the most commissioners. I sent out an email last week that I wanted to announce publicly that we got our bond ratings on the library bonds, and Fitch rated the city a AA+, and Moody's rated us a AA1, which are both very good ratings, and so we're pleased to announce that. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions for the city manager? Nope. Mr. City Attorney.
Yes, Mayor, Commissioner, just a couple items. Update with respect to the Morgan Bellows lawsuit. We filed an answer and a motion for judgment on the pleadings. So that will be heard at some point before the courts. Number two, with respect to the Villa Tuscany matter, which is a memory care matter, they have filed a request for relief. It's a statutory proceeding that requires the city's participation, and I would ask the commission consider the following to get us in the flow of that process. It's a very tight time frame. In fact, it's almost impossible to meet all the statutory deadlines, so that's why we're bringing it to you today under my report. One, it would be helpful to have a representative of the city, and we suggest that the commission consider appointing the city manager as the city's representative in the statutory proceeding to give him authority to make settlement recommendations back to the city commission. Number two, give him authority to select a special magistrate, which is the person that will be agreed to between the parties to hear the matter and attempt to resolve the matter between the city and the developer. And third, to pay for one half the magistrate's expense.
That wasn't that I had to pay for one half the magistrate.
Well, Randy, I was covering for you there.
Can you give me just a ballpark?
Expense. This particular, we've got several that are being considered. The hourly rate is $350 an hour, so the idea would be one half of that. The particular person that's acceptable that we think may work that we're going to have discussion with the city manager. One is in Tallahassee, but they'd only charge 1 hour travel time each way. That would probably take, if there's a mediation that takes, let's say half, I'd say it's a full day, 8 hours. You're probably talking collectively $5,000 to $8,000, so you probably half of that.
Okay.
If it goes beyond that and he has to have a full hearing rather than having just a mediation that would come back to the city commission, then you're going to have a public hearing at that. The magistrate would actually have that. That may go at 8 hours in addition to the mediation. So it depends on what happens. If we come up with a recommended settlement, come back at much less expense. If not, it's going to probably double that with the second hearing.
Okay.
That's it. Well, that's what I'd need. If the commission feels comfortable appointing Randy Knight as the city's representative for those purposes, that would be very helpful.
I just have a quick question. You said it was time sensitive. So
yes.
If Randy's a representative from the city, then are there times where he won't get in front of the full commission before he has to go back and agree to some type of settlement?
No settlement that would be mediated or recommended will go forward unless the city commission approves it. It will come back to you, even if the statutory time frames are not met.
Gives him the authority to do basically what he does on a daily basis
exactly.
For us in the first place.
Right.
Okay, I'd like to move that.
I'll second.
Okay, Commissioner.
Because it is a hearing, can we have shady on it? Or
no.
Have to come forth?
No, ma'am. Unfortunately, it's not that. It's considered not an administrative proceeding or litigation. It's a mediated dispute process. It's spelled out by statute. So there may actually not be a hearing. If the mediation results in a recommendation from the city manager to come back to you, then we probably will not go to that special magistrate hearing. But ultimately, it will come back if there's at some point it will come back for a city commission public hearing.
Okay. We'll open up the floor to public comment given this item. So anybody wish to address the commission, please step forward. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Mayor?
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Arterman, anything else?
I have the results of some bills, if you want to hear those, or we can pass them till later.
I don't think we need to hear them Good. Just yet. We're not fully there yet anyway.
Right.
The governor has not spoken.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll wait till the governor rules.
Right. All right. That's fine.
Okay. Any questions for the city attorney?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Non-action items, we'll take citizen comments closer to the 5 o'clock hour. The consent agenda. What say you, folks?
I'd like to move it.
Second.
Any comments?
Yeah, item B.
Item 9B?
Is that the tennis stuff that we discussed in the rate fee schedule?
Yes.
Last time? And then so that's being implemented now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And was there other discussions on that? I feel like I missed something in there.
Well, there was a couple things you asked. You asked for it to be posted out at the tennis center for a while, and it was posted.
Okay.
The proposed rates, and this is coming back as part of the one-year contract extension, final contract extension for the provider out there.
Okay.
It also went to the Parks and Rec Board, and they recommended approval.
Right, which we asked for as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll open the floor to public comment. Since we are going to move this on to open public comment, anybody wish to address the commission on the consent agenda? No, I should have to speak. All right, seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, please read the roll.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Mayor
yes, thank you. Dory?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We are back again regarding 301 West Comstock Avenue. After the last meeting, we did not recognize any action that staff needed to take. So we presented you with an agenda item today that listed four options available to you for consideration. Staff is recommending that we basically cancel the notice of disposal and move to use our services, our broker services with CBRE to go after the highest, the person who may be interested in purchasing the property and offering you the most money for it rather than do a notice of disposal. And working with Kurt's office, we determined that the property was purchased before the CRA was established, so we don't need to go through a notice of disposal process on this. Real estate term for you as a city commission. But we are waiting and interested in finding out what direction you want us to take today with regard to this property. And I'm open for questions if there are any.
Thank you. Commissioner Seidel, any questions?
No, I'm happy to make a statement, though. But I don't have anything for Dory specific.
Okay. Commissioner Sprinkle.
Can we make a part of this that it meet the appraisal?
You can make whatever you want.
That's what I would like to do, is that it meet the condition.
Yes,
that
they say the conditions say to meet the minimum price of the appraisal.
That's all I wanted to add.
Okay. Commissioner Cooper.
And I also am in that same position for anything that we purchase, just slightly different. I would like to say that as a condition.
Purchase or sell?
I'm sorry, if it was sell.
Okay.
I would like to say that as a condition, we either receive appraised value or an offsetting public benefit. So that gives the person who bids some flexibility to say that I'm going to offer you parking places plus this amount. So for me, I'm absolutely the value of the appraised value. Especially if you go look at page number 100, it's very clear that the appraised value was calculated based on only three units. So as we're doing four units, they're really benefiting from extra development on that property. So I'm very comfortable with the appraised value. And I don't mind offsetting it in the way of open space, parking places, some genuine public amenity. So that's a motion that I would like to amend Sarah's motion. Did you make a motion?
There's no motion yet. I'd like to hear from all commissioners if you don't mind.
Not at all.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Wilden.
I'm prepared to sell it today for the highest price offered to date.
Okay, and I would just offer that the, I think Commissioner Cooper, where you were going with it really is the best offer. And the best offer may take into consideration parkland, parking places, trees preserved, number of homes on the site. The best financial offer is not necessarily the best offer for the citizens in the city of Winter Park. So I think we need to be a bit careful on that. I will also tell you that the appraised value from is a suggested value from an appraiser, not from the free market. So I can't support just demanding that they meet the appraised offer because, again, to your point, Commissioner, there may be circumstances that we are willing to sacrifice. There may be other items. I think one of the offers was two homes on the property. Is that correct, Tori?
No, sir. We had
four.
Okay. We sent out the notice of disposal with the maximum being four homes. Both offers came in with four units.
I was thinking of the, I'm just thinking in my head of the design. Okay. So I would just like to see the final and best offers. I don't like negotiating from the dais either. That gets a little bit tricky and squirrely, as we've seen in the past. I would like to see CBRE go out and get the best final offers from whoever wants to propose an offer for the property and bring it back to the commission. We select, we award, and we move on. That would be my motion if I were to make one.
I think we already did that.
Well, I think we got tied up in some language, and I think when we started to negotiate from the dais, it got squirrely. Commissioner.
Hi.
Commissioner Seidel.
Thank you. I'd like to offer another alternative is that we hold on to the property for right now. And my reasons being is that, you know, we just finished a visioning process, which has a lot of green space vision. And there's also the proposed, I'm going to use the wrong term here, Dory, but the development overlays for the corridors, that, you know, having land to trade that has value could be useful in any of those corridors. For example, if we want to need to take some right away from somebody, they may see a land swap as a more valuable asset than just cash. And so for me, we have put ourselves in a situation, I think, for this sale at the moment where there's a lot of liability, if you will. And if we just held on to the property until, and we talked about the green space plan, these corridor plans, unless there's a real need for us to get these dollars into our budget right now, it would seem to me to be a little more fiscal responsible to develop the Martin Luther King Park plan, the corridor plans, and then determine if we have property left over to dispose of at that time. So that's my alternative.
Okay.
So I'd like to make an amendment.
Well, we need a motion first.
Okay.
So I'd like to make a motion.
I would move this forward to put this with CBRE.
Mm-hmm.
With the amendment that it meet the appraised value before it comes back to us.
As a floor.
Yes, as a floor. Right. I don't care how much more.
So, Commissioner, can I just clarify that then? Would you, and how many offers would you like to see? Just a single
offer? I
don't care.
It doesn't matter to me. Doesn't make any difference to me.
So just to tighten this, would you only have staff bring back offers that meet appraised value to the commission for consideration?
That is correct.
Okay. Is that clear? And do we have a second for that?
Okay. I would second that.
Okay.
And amend.
Okay.
For me, the absolutely, I support getting the appraised value. I am, however, very willing to look at the value of an offer that has an offsetting public benefit. But that public benefit has value. So I'm still interested in maintaining the appraised value as the base, but I'm okay if part of that value is represented in the way of green space, parking spaces, because those things are relatively easy to quantify. So that would be my amendment.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, and Commissioner, I think I would disagree just on the ability to quantify that. So I can't support that because I think it's, if you're going to make it ambiguous, then we're just asking really for, I think that's in Commissioner Sprinkle's main motion, which is we will consider any offers of appraised value or greater, and then really what is included in those offers may be additional parking spaces, maybe three units instead of four units. I think that's included within her main motion. Would you agree or no?
No, I'm not quite as comfortable, but if that's your interpretation, that's...
I think we're asking for best offers. And then you can decide if one comes in $10,000 higher than the other, as long as they both meet the appraised value, but one is giving green space or parking spaces, that may be your preferred offer. Is that
No, I'm okay with what you're saying, but okay. I'd like to leave my motion on the table because that provides clarity.
Okay. Mr. City Attorney, am I off on that?
I think you're right. If the office come back and Commissioner Cooper's requirement is that it meet or exceed the appraised value,
then it's the totality of each offer.
Right. So she did.
It's duplicative. I mean, I just don't see the need for it.
I mean, the commission can have the discussion then about whether the proposed non-monetary item in the offer exceeds the that with the dollars exceed the appraised value.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm going to rule that out of order, Commissioner, I believe it's included.
We all agree with that.
Okay.
I have a question for her.
So I'm sorry, we'll take that amendment out of order. Yes, Commissioner Wilden.
I have a question for the city attorney.
Yes,
Mr. Arvin, Commissioner Seidel mentioned that the current process seems to be fraught with liability. Could you comment on that? I mean, we've already gone through the CBRE process once. We know the outcome of all that from the last meeting. But it was my understanding that the city has total flexibility in this matter without regard to the fact that anybody can sue anybody at any time for anything. Can you elaborate on that? Am I correct or incorrect? Or
may I just interject one thing prior to that? We've not gone through a CBRE process. All CBRE did was help us to
process the NOV.
Yes, yeah. But they did not go to the lengths that we're asking them to go through at this stage, right. Which mm-hmm. is handling and feeling everything. Okay.
Well,
in regards to Commissioner Seidel's comment on liability, would you like to touch on that, please?
Certainly. Well, you've got at least two separate lawyers or law firms that have sent letters to the city, each claiming they're correct and the other one's wrong, and the city commission should accept their proposal. They each have made their arguments to the commission. The NOD that went out clearly says that you can throw out any and all offers. It's not something you have to. It's not a competitive bid process. There is no statutory mechanisms. It's not a CRA mandated NOD process, even though the city chose to use some of those mechanisms. And the property is available, I guess, for the city commission's decision about what's the best in the public interest. So, yes, we can get sued, but the standard is arbitrary and capricious, and if the city commission were arbitrary and capricious in its decision, then I think you've got a greater chance at liability. However, I think what the city commission has expressed is concern over both of the offers, the process as well, but your objective is pretty clear. It's to achieve the city's best interest. It's not a personal vendetta. It's not a personal favor. It's to achieve the city's best interest. And I find it difficult that a court would say that is arbitrary and capricious.
Okay.
One follow-up question on that. Would the action proposed by the motion by Commissioner Sprinkle add to or have any impact on the extent to which the arguments for being arbitrary and capricious might apply?
No, I think her motion, which included, even though she said amendment, her motion, it's a single motion, I think follows the staff's primary recommendation with the caveat that she says she'd like to see a minimum of the appraised value. I think that's fine.
Okay. Folks,
that's the only difference that I hear in her motion and the staff recommendation.
Sure. Commissioner.
Yes, I have something that I wanted to express to you. The reason
to you
that,
being city attorney?
No, to you. Because the reason that I was hopeful, well, to all of us,
okay.
but in response to something that Steve had said, my thought with wanting to have that motion mm-hmm. in place is to so that CBRE, when they go out to the marketplace, they understand, the people that are proposing understand that as a commission, we are interested and willing to see something other than just price.
And Commissioner, I understand that. My point to you was that if we're setting a floor on the being the appraised value, then I think we don't need that. If we are not setting a floor of the lowest price we'll accept, then I think we would probably need that.
But CBRE, as our representative, will understand and express that we are
other aspects of the offer will be considered. So with that, also, I'm going to make a moment. I don't know what that was.
Well,
I'm going to try to make an amendment.
All right.
I hope you got that. Did you type that properly in a moment? My amendment will say that all offers must come with a solid price, no flexibility on the pricing, and they will be best and final, as there will be no negotiating from the dais regarding price. That is my amendment. Okay. That fails for lack of a second. So, folks, we're going to get back into the same discussion we've had for the past two commission meetings and regarding taking, we're going to negotiate from the dais again. Is that what you're leaving this open to?
No, I'll second your motion.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor, may I ask a clarification?
Absolutely, please.
Commissioner Sprinkle, would your motion also just basically say that the commission is choosing to not pursue the notice of disposal process, that you're basically,
yes,
they're choosing to toss out the notice of disposal process that we've undergone?
I think what her motion was the staff recommendation,
yes,
with that.
Right. I just want to make it very clear that the commission has decided to not pursue the notice of disposal process, that we're going in another direction.
Okay. And folks, just again, to make
to
my,
reject, I'm sorry.
That's
to,
yes,
reject all offers based on the notice of, and start fresh, basically, yes, would be it. That would be all I would ask.
Okay. That is part of her, that is accepted as
Thank
part
you.
Of her motion. And I believe Commissioner Cooper, did you second that? Is that your understanding as well? Okay, great, thank you. Again, folks, the amendment, I hope nobody here wants to get caught up into renegotiating and talking three parking spaces versus four parking spaces and get into the negotiating at the commission level. Let's have best final come to us, decide, and move on. That's my amendment.
And I agree with that completely, but I don't like your amendment because your amendment sounds to me like you're saying, so you can't ever bring it back. And when it comes back to us, I do expect that we're going to say yes or no, and we're going to say yes or no on the merits of what they bring back to us. And I don't think it's necessary. That's all. Okay? I know how you feel. You know how I feel.
The only reason I think it's necessary is because we've just lived through 2 years.
I know we have lived through it, but that's our fault. It's our fault that we did not create a better process, and now we've learned, okay? We've learned. That's the way I look at it. So I would like, going forward, for this not to ever happen again, for us to be more specific in what we want. And I think the amendment that I made is
our motion
that I made is specific enough. That's all. Sorry.
Okay, so let me put into a scenario that we get. I have to, Commissioner, because I don't want to go through this in 2 weeks.
And
we need time certain on this as well. So do you have time certain on your motion? Do you want to see offers back by the next commission meeting?
Is there a double process for time?
I would
recommend you not put a time certain.
Right. Okay,
just give them time to.
Let them do
to
their
market
job.
It. Yeah.
We have hired them to do this job. Let's let them do their job.
They have done it before, and that's why it's.
Will that have.
Because there was ambiguity in the language, and we're trying to tighten that language so we don't have that anymore.
Yeah. How did we advertise last time? Were we on national list, and did we have values in there? Or were we.
We advertised by statute. We met the statutory requirements.
During the notice of disposal, we followed the statutory requirements for a regular real estate deal.
Right.
Bobby Palto with our CBRE is in the audience. He can tell you how we're going to advertise this going forward. It won't be through the same process we did the notice of disposal.
Yeah, I guess, do we know how many people showed interest through the last?
Through the notice of disposal process?
Yeah.
You only received two offers.
Right, but I assume people inquire, right?
You want to
get we didn't get any other emails, any other phone calls. We only had two people say, hey, there's some property for sale in Winter Park. We only got two responses.
Good afternoon. Bobby Palto with CBRE. So to answer the question, I think we had probably 20 or 25 inquiries.
Okay, great.
Combination of, emails, phone calls, and so forth.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Let's open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wish to address the commission on this item, please step forward.
Mayor, before you take the public comment, for clarification, to make sure the commission's the motion, the second amendment or set. As I understand, Commissioner Sprinkle's motion is to reject all bids, to turn the property over to CBRE, the city's real estate broker, to solicit buyers and bring back the best financial offer with the floor of those offers to equal or exceed the appraised value.
That is correct.
And that your offered amendment, which has a second, would be to tell the buyers, the potential buyers, that there will not be any that there will be a solid price from them, dollar price, and it is to be their best and final offer, and that the commission does not intend to negotiate from the dais.
between offers. That's correct. We once selected, to Commissioner Sprinkle's point, I believe, and this is not within my amendment, but once selected, I believe that staff will have the opportunity to negotiate specifics of the accepted offer with the selected applicant.
Yes.
So we can go back. Staff can go back and talk about minor things in their plan.
Is that acceptable to the seconder?
That's Mr. Weldon. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just did want to, for transparency, Mr. Bellows did call me after the last meeting. I gave him some my thoughts on what had happened at the meeting. He gave me some things to think about. I told him I'd get back to him. I never got back to him because I saw it here on the agenda and figured we'd talk about it now.
Okay. Let's open up the floor to public comment. You can stand next to him. You can wherever you like. Wherever you like. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Brad Luzak. I represent Winter Park Redevelopment Agency Limited, an entity affiliated with Mr. Bellows. The city issued a notice of disposal, which has been referred to as an NOD, and Winter Park Redevelopment Agency Limited followed the NOD process to the letter. It was the high bidder. It proposed a conceptual plan that conformed to all of the criteria of the NOD, including addressing the parking for the David Weekly townhomes. So it was not only the highest offer, but it was also the best offer. It was the only one that conformed with the NOD requirements. The City Commission hearing on April 10th should have been the end of the bid process. It, however, turned into an impromptu auction with negotiating from the dais. As a result of the solicitation of bids from the dais, the city started the monetary part of the bidding process anew. In the second bid process, which concluded on Friday, April 14th, Winter Park Redevelopment Agency Limited submitted a bid for, and I quote, $450,000 and or $1,000 higher than the next bid, if any. Once again, Winter Park Redevelopment Agency Limited had the highest offer. At the City Commission meeting on April 24th, however, counsel for a competing bidder, Ms. Hayes, stood up here and told you that Winter Park Redevelopment Agency Limited's bid violated a particular statute. She was mistaken. The statute to which she was referring is Florida Statute Section 163.380. And that statute, as was discussed earlier today, only applies to property when it's acquired by a municipality that has a CRA and the property is acquired for redevelopment purposes, which the Blake Yard was not. The Blake Yard, to be clear, was acquired by the city before it had a CRA and not for redevelopment purposes. The statute simply didn't have any application to this matter. More importantly, Winter Park Redevelopment Agency Limited's bid did not violate the statute. Ms. Hayes was mistaken, and Roland and Company should admit this to you. It's also been suggested that Winter Park Redevelopment Agency Limited's bid was illegal. The bid was not illegal. It was suggested it was improper, and I had to look up what improper means, lawyering here, and it means not in accordance with accepted rules or standards. So what are the accepted rules or standards? From a lawyer's perspective, we look at statutes, the city's charter, city's ordinances, city's guidelines, and Mr. Bellow's proposal or bid did not violate or fail to conform with any of those things. There is simply no rule or standard that was violated. If anything, Mr. Bellow's proposal was unconventional. And I'm going to see if I can use this high-tech stuff.
Patrick?
Don't know if y'all can read that, but it's a man talking to his cat next to a litter box that says, never, ever think outside the box. That's what Mr. Bellows did here. He thought outside the box, and this isn't the first time the city's seen him do that, I suspect. You may love him, you may not. But I think we can all agree that his bid was creative. With that said, thinking outside the box is not illegal. Thinking outside the box is not improper, at least not when bidding to purchase property from the city. Today isn't the time to reconsider site plans or anything else. The conceptual site plan sailed weeks ago when the sealed bidding closed under the NOD, and Mr. Bellows is here to answer any questions you might have regarding his plan. But in conclusion, what we would respectfully suggest is that the city should honor the sealed bid process that it began and for which Mr. Bellows or Winter Park Redevelopment Agency Limited presented the highest and best bid. Alternatively, the city should accept Winter Park Redevelopment Agency's highest and best bid in the second bidding process. In no event should the city reject or fail to consider Winter Park Redevelopment Agency Limited's high bid just because it was novel in its form or the mistaken opinion by a competing bidder's attorney that it was illegal. And I would suggest to you that in all events, the city should not move the goalposts on Winter Park Redevelopment Agency Limited yet again and have a third process where Mr. Bellows must again compete to purchase the property. He won the first time fairly and squarely. He won the second time fairly and squarely. It is not fair to change the rules, move the goalposts, and require him to start anew. If you all have any questions for me or Mr. Bellows, we'd be glad to answer them. If not, I'd like to thank you for your attention.
Thank you, sir. Take your cat with you.
Oh. Never know when I might need that.
Thank you. I'm Rosemary Hayes here on behalf of Roland and Company. And I will address just quickly the legal arguments. I cited a couple of different statutes the last time that I was here. I did cite the CRA statute, which the city attorney at that time during my presentation said this was not CRA property, and I did acknowledge and understand that that is the case. But the fallback position, and it's consistent with that statute, is that the process has to be reasonable and it can't be arbitrary and capricious. I think everyone agrees that that is the standard that has to be applied. And every statute that addresses competitive bidding for things like this, such as the one that governs counties, which says the city can follow it, but it doesn't have to, but the counties must follow it. It also says that...
Hey, Ms. Hayes, I'll allow this if we need to, but we have direction from city attorney, and I apologize, I should have tried to stop Mr. Blazek too. I think we're well within our rights. I think you all were well within your rights, and your opinions are great. But we have an opinion from city attorney that says that we've acted properly in regards to how we've handled this so far. We may not like where we ended up. but we have certainly, we believe that we've handled it legally. So if you have new information or something that you'd like to add, that would be helpful. But rehearing the same arguments is really not getting us anywhere.
I understand.
Thank you.
And my only assertion about really arbitrariness would be accepting, I'm responding in other words to Mr. Lutzak, would be accepting the $1,000 more offer.
And I don't think that there's not a motion on the table for that. So if you'd like to address the current motion that we have, that would be helpful.
Okay, I would like to briefly show the property that development that we plan. I know Mr. Lutzak said that it's already occurred, but it actually never occurred because the first meeting when we came here, they weren't allowed to show it or speak because it was going to be the final and best offer. And you know, from my perspective, listening to the last motion, and I'm just trying to be honest, I'm really not sure what y'all are looking for at this point even, because you use the term final and best offer again, and is that really it? Is it really just the highest number, or is it something more? It's sitting here, I'm not clear on that. But this is our development, as was proposed, and I'll just briefly address the Roland development. It has the garage above the pool. It has quite a bit of green space here. At the back of the property where we're looking at this green space, there's a walking exit to the farmer's market. So you can exit and walk to the farmer's market. These walls that you see in between the units are not only architectural elements, they're two-hour rated firewalls. The pavers that are used on this property are a special product known as Eco Pavers, and they have increased permeability and drainage through those pavers that aren't seen in normal pavers. Here you can see the rooftop balconies, and there's enough space to park two cars in front of each of the individual garages that are shown here in addition to a two-car garage, so four potential parking spaces per unit. The 25-foot bamboo would be put along the front to screen from noise and visibility. You can see it here at the bottom of this picture. And they would plan to keep all of the property's existing trees along the west property line. They would also be willing to attempt to engage with Weekly to add parking spaces if staff wanted them to do that. I think this is a beautiful development. I think the offer by Roland of $455,000, $5,000 more than the appraised value would be an excellent option for the city and in its best interest. I assume that you have to pay a $25,000 or $22,000 commission for CBRE to handle this. I don't know what your contract with CBRE says, but you're spending those dollars that you wouldn't otherwise have to spend. Roland & Company is ready to proceed with this development. They're committed to it, and I think they've shown you that they're committed to it, committed to meeting the requirements of the city staff and trying to make everyone happy, which is, I know, what everyone is trying to do here, and it's not a very easy job. So we would like to be awarded the contract for $455,000.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else like to address the commission on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment.
I have a few
Mr. Seidel.
Yeah, you know, one of the things for me is, you know, I look at these projects, my preference, you know, as I've told many times, is not to sell the property. But if I'm going to sell the property, how do we, are we able to get the most value for the city?
Mr. Seidel, can I just stop you there? Unless there is going to be another motion to accept one of the previous...
Well, yeah, I'm going somewhere.
For this, then can we keep our comments focused on the motion that's on the table before us? I give you that because I don't want to go down these tangential discussions. I'd rather try
No, this isn't tangential.
Okay.
This is what, you know, to me, what I see as fair is we put the process out, we got the bids, and that if we took the original process, okay, no, we didn't get the appraised value. But to me, that was about being fair. That's how I look at it, is these guys, they both put together their bids. We had an opportunity to pick one. And if you go back to that point in time and pick one, to me, the one that had the parking spaces in it when it was originally bid gave that benefit to the city. So for me, I would be, you know, if it's going to be sold, I would be happy to go back to the original bid that had the parking spaces to me because I feel that's what we tried to do in that process. That's all. And so if I want to make a motion to that, I'm happy to make a motion.
So you can make any motion you
right.
like. I will tell you that none of those both – I believe only one offer, and I'm going back a couple of meetings now, Dory, correct me if I'm wrong, none of the offers offered the parking spaces, but one of the offers said that they would negotiate with the neighboring property owners to try to facilitate those parking spaces. Is that correct?
Mr. Bellows, the Winter Park redevelopment offer did show parking spaces, subject to...
But I believe he said he would work with them.
Subject to a negotiation, correct. But he did actually show parking spaces on the site plan.
That's correct.
Or on the site design that he gave it, that he turned in to show
right. And then so my condition would be to come to the closing with a document that says you offered them and they didn't want them, or here's a document, I offered them and they are buying them. And that was the only condition I had.
Okay, so you can make a motion if you'd like, sir.
Yeah, well, I will make that motion to go back to the original bids with the contingency that Mr. Bellows come to the closing with a document that says he is either selling the spaces to those folks or not selling it, that's signed by the that board that owns that property.
And I believe, if I may add to that, just for clarification's sake, I believe at the time that he offered them at the same price per square foot, that property for same price per square foot.
That he's paying.
That he's paying.
Correct.
And so which offer are you going back to originally? There were two offers. I want to be clear on this.
370 and 425?
There was 425.
It was 425.
It was the 425 offer.
Right.
Okay. So that is a motion on the table as a secondary motion. Do we have a second for that? I'll second that for discussion. Okay. So we have two motions on the table. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to just, we have two offers on the table that both exceed the appraised value. So I'm wondering why we would go back through CBRE at this point.
Why go back or why go to the previous bids?
No, I'm not speaking to your motion. I'm speaking to the first motion from Commissioner Sprinkle.
That's to get out of this negotiating.
Right, just go back to originally before we got involved in it at the dais.
Okay, I'll buy that.
To get us out of the NOD process, I think, is one of the goals.
Okay,
so that we make sure that as we move forward and we have anything else like this, that we have a process in place, we know what the rules are. Yeah. I mean, I know that I should have said ahead of time, I know what Mr. Leary says, Mayor Leary says, but I really have to put some kind of ability to look at what something is appraised for, and I understand that's not my business, but when the city comes back to me with that, that's what I'm going to look at. So that's why that's important to me.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to make an amendment to Mr. Seidel's motion, and Mr. Seidel, I don't believe there's any reason to leave money off the table since both parties made offers higher than the original 425. I will amend that motion to incorporate all of your single condition, but I would make the asking price to $456, which I believe was the secondary motion. So the offer goes from $425, but to $456.
Yeah, my concern was
it still contains the conditions.
Right, but that just opens us up to the concerns I had previously. That's why I'm going back to that point in time.
Well, I'm not sure that it does, and that's why I raised those issues with the city attorney, because I'm not sure that delaying this anymore, gets us into or out of any other legal implications. I think we're free and clear regardless of which path.
So I have a motion on the table to raise the offer from 425 to 456.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Which we should specify which party.
That was Mr. Bellows, Winter Park Redevelopment Agency, LTD. So that is adding $26,000 to Mr. Seidel.
Okay, so I'm going to be a devil's advocate here. When his motion came in, it was not for $456. It was $455 and or $1,000 more than any other, which does come to
$450.
So I don't know if that makes it $456, or do you use that exact language? Just knowing that legal minds sometimes are kind of picky about stuff like that. So what does that mean?
Is the and/or language strong enough?
Well, I think the and/or language is ambiguous, frankly.
Yeah.
Because if you use and, then he's going to be paying $900,000 for the property. If you use or, which one is it? The higher or the lower? So you presume it's going to be the higher, but that's just because we're offering. So the language is ambiguous. I think the mayor's amendment was for $456.
It was for $456.
So that's what he's
clarifying. That's right. The offer. $456.
Yeah, but it's your amendment.
And that's what I'm making it at, $456. Okay. And again, this is what I was trying to avoid.
Well,
so this is where we are, folks. I don't know if there's any further discussion on this. That's going to take us anywhere else. But I'd like to at least take some action on this.
But Dan, may I have one more question?
Please.
Of the city attorney. Is going back through is rejecting the NOD process at this point, which we have the right to do.
Yes.
Under the terms of the NOD, and moving forward with CBRE on a. On the basis of the two motions before us, the one from Ms. Sprinkle and seconded by Mayor Leary, does that help us in any way legally, in your opinion?
I think the best position is what staff has recommended.
Okay.
To throw it out. But I think, as we discussed, we can get sued on any one of them.
Right.
To debate which one is a little more secure than the other at the dais is probably not the best idea.
Right.
So
I understand, but I think we have to, for the benefit of the bidders on the table and for our own benefit, I think we got to understand what we're doing here.
Understand. So I would be happiest in court with the staff recommendation. Mm-hmm. What has been proposed as amended, I think, twice. Well, we got two amendments or three amendments? That's three amendments.
We have
right?
one amendment. Well, we have
three amendments.
We have two motions and one amendment for each.
My motion and his motion.
I thought it was a motion that's been amended.
No, it's two different motions. Two different main motions.
I'm sorry. So what's the second motion?
The second motion was Mr. Seidel's at 425 with the condition that they offer the square footage, and mine I amended that at 456.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. And I seconded it. No, not yet. Please sit down, sir.
So the question is between the two, which is better from a legal standpoint?
Yeah.
Let me think about this one second.
Just to refresh your memory, Kurt, the 425 was that was the sealed bid. Bids, so that would be going back to the sealed bid,
right?
And not doing the second, because the commission never formally rejected those. They just said, could they go back and come up to market value?
I think that the first motion, where you bring back, Commissioner Sprinkle's motion is probably the best from a legal standpoint.
Okay, great. I'm sorry.
That's
if you'd like to address.
Seconded.
Please.
Well, we may not.
We may not.
I feel that is arbitrary.
You're asking us to go back. You just came up and asked to accept your offer. So now you're telling us we can't go back and accept the other offer.
Well, because you sent us away from here saying we won't take less than 450, right? And we said, okay, we'll pay 455. And then what if we had said we'll pay $1,000 more than the next person? We'd sit here all.
That's a clever approach. I agree. There was challenges with the way this was handled.
But, I mean, that's really arbitrary.
We met all the statutory requirements, but that's what it was saying. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Mr. Hardeman has spoken.
I'm prepared to vote.
Okay.
But please be very clear.
Okay, so let me be very clear on these motions. I'm going to deal with the amendment first. So the amendment, I'm going to take Commissioner Sprinkle's motion first. The amendment to that was my amendment. Somebody, Mr. Knight, did you say something? Okay, I'm sorry. Was my amendment, which was to have a solid price, not a $1,000 more, not $1,000 less. It's a price. We're accepting the price, and is a best and final offer, so that we will not be negotiating from the dais. That's the amendment we are voting on now. Is that clear? Yes.
And that's an amendment to Commissioner Sprinkle's
motion
to go back to
CBRE
with the highest and best offer.
So if that passes, the other two amendments are
moved. Exactly. If this advances and Commissioner Sprinkle's motion advances, then the other two motion, the motion and the amendment that were made by Commissioner Seidel and myself are null and void.
Correct.
And for my clarity, that will open the door to allow people to bid public benefit plus dollars that equal the
That creates a floor for the offer. Right. The appraised value and anything above and beyond that they'd like to throw in their offer as being a public benefit will certainly be considered.
And it's opened up to anybody that CBRE talks with, not just these two bidders.
Other aspects, Dory, are you clear?
No, I just want to make sure that works.
Bobby and I were just talking about basically sending this to CBRE is you'll get a contract for sale. You'll get a contract for purchase. There's no site plan attached to it, so there's no way to determine what the public purpose of that may be until the site plan actually works through the process.
But it'll have to meet code.
It will have to meet code. But all you're going to get is sending this to CBRE.
I want to clarify the public purpose, because the public purpose, these parking spaces are not public purpose. Those are private purpose. Okay, so these discussions about the parking spaces. The green space is public, absolutely. What I'm saying is, with Commissioner Sprinkle's motion, which says the floor that we're willing to accept is for whatever the appraisal is.
$450,000.
That is not the sole determinant to acceptance of this offer. It will also include things like the ability to market those parking spaces to the neighbor, creating additional green space. The commission and the staff will take into consideration all other aspects of the offer, not just the price, as long as the price is at appraised value or higher.
And how do you want those quantified in a contract for sale and purchase?
I don't think we can quantify those.
So what do you want beyond a contract for sale and purchase at a price above $450,000? What else do you want CBRE to bring forward as part of that contract?
I think that's up to the proposers. If they've heard the commissioner's comments, if they want to be creative and bring something attractive for the benefit of the city, they can do so.
So we're going to have a sale. You're asking CBRE to go out and do a sale for contract, as well as some type of a design plan to come back in?
To show the commission what the, yeah, I mean, a rough, just what we saw in the last 2 hours.
Got it. And prior to this, I did not support your motion, Mayor Leary, but since it's taken us so long to get to here, I now support it. So okay. I'm okay with that amendment, because it seems to me like maybe that might help.
That's a smart thing to do.
Okay, so Cindy, the amendment that we're considering now is for, again, I'll restate it, is for a price, and not, again, what I mean by solid price is not $1,000 more than anybody else offers or any of those. It's a price, and it needs to be stated, and it is a best and final offer in regards to, there will be not negotiating from the dais between applicants. It will be chosen then. So that's the amendment, and if you would read the roll, please.
Well, Mr. Mayor, if this passes, then is mine moot? Or is
not
only
yet, sir. No, the main motion still needs to be passed.
Correct. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Cindy, please read the roll.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. And now on the main motion, Commissioner Sprinkle made to have CBRE remarket the property and accept only offers at appraised or greater, knowing that applicants and offers, we would appreciate qualitative or quantitative other aspects of the offer before acceptance. Basically, we're not going to accept it just on price. Okay?
And also to reject all bids.
And to reject all bids from the initial nod. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
No.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. The other motions and amendment
are
now moved.
Correct. Okay. You know what you're doing now?
That was fun.
I think we can. Why do I think we're going to reseat this again? Okay. Mr. Arteman, we have the second reading of 11A. If you would read that, please.
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank, an ordinance of the City Commission of the City of Winter Park, Florida, authorizing a revolving line of credit and a principal amount not to be outstanding thereunder at any one time to exceed $8 million with SunTrust Bank or an affiliate thereof to finance working capital needs of the city's electric utility system and to pay the cost of such line of credit, approving the form of a commercial note and agreement to commercial note, delegating to the mayor or city manager the authority to execute and deliver the commercial note, agreement to commercial note, and all other agreements related thereto, providing other details with respect thereto, and providing an effective date.
Okay. What say you, Commission?
I'll move it. Okay, second.
Mr. Wilton first. Sprinkle. Any comments? No. Second reading. We'll open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the Commission on this item, please step forward now. 11A. Okay, seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Welch?
Yes.
Mayor Moon?
Yes. Okay. Mr. Artiman, you have a long one to read here, sir.
Yes, sir. Resolution number blank-17, a resolution of the City Commission of the City of Winter Park, Florida, authorizing the issuance in an aggregate principal amount of not to exceed $30 million general obligation bonds, Series 2017, for the purpose of financing the acquisition and construction of the Winter Park Library and Event Center and related improvements in the city, providing that such bonds shall be payable from ad valorem taxation, providing for the levy of necessary ad valorem taxes, authorizing the awarding of said bonds pursuant to a public bid, delegating certain authority for the award of the bonds and the approval of the terms and details of said bonds, authorizing the publication of a notice of sale for the bonds or a summary thereof, appointing the paying agent and bond registrar for said bonds, authorizing the distribution of a preliminary official statement and the execution and delivery of an official statement with respect to such bonds, authorizing the execution and delivery of a continuing disclosure certificate, making certain other covenants and agreements in connection therewith, and providing for an effective date.
Excellent. Do we have anything from staff, Mr. Knight or Mr. Hamill?
Just to say, this does accommodate what you requested at the last meeting, which was that we'd be doing 27.5 now, but if you wanted, for some reason, to do an additional amount up to $30 million, this would allow for that to happen.
And bond council has...
Yes.
Confirmed. And attorney.
And the reason the title was so long was because bond counsel wrote it. Not
thank goodness.
Mr. Weldon.
Mr. Urban.
Yes, sir.
I didn't see that language in here. I missed it, I guess. Or,
it's not.
Okay, but so that language.
Yes, I had a discussion. Commissioner Weldon's concern is there's no restrictive language in here with respect to when the 27.5 kicks in. The mayor and the city manager have authority to go right immediately to $30 million.
Right.
So it's easy to solve that just by the motion,
right,
that you adopt this ordinance. You should say that the mayor, city manager, and staff and legal have the authority to go forward under this at up to $27.5 million. If there's any bonds to be sold beyond that, it needs to come back to the city commission.
I'm fine with that.
I'll make that motion.
And okay. I'll second that motion.
Okay. Questions from commission? This does seem to be meet what we've asked. Okay. Questions from the floor is open. Anybody wishing to address the commission on this item from the public, please. Now is your time. Okay.
Wow.
Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Are you all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Wellman?
Yes.
Mayor Moon?
Yes. And again, please note, Cindy, in the minutes that this will, if we do decide to go issue another $2.5 million, that needs to come back to the commission for approval, not just through the mayor and the city attorney and the city manager. Thank you. Yeah. Commissioner Seidel.
I had a few items I wanted to discuss tonight. One of them we somewhat touched on earlier. The one development that came for us with the parking downtown that we tabled.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things, you know, I understand that's going to be coming back before us at some point.
It might. I haven't heard.
Right. So
we have people here. Is that, do you have that scheduled to come back before us? Yes. Okay.
And one of the reasons I brought up, you know, the parking garage issue is in some of the work that they're doing, they have that existing lot that is used, and we can debate till the cows come home.
The surface lot or
yeah,
the garage?
Yeah, okay. The surface lot. And at peak times, that seems to be pretty full all the time. And so that's why, with regards to the downtown parking and the parking garage, I somewhat see a sense of urgency, if you will, to have those studies and information completed so that, you know, if something happens that surface parking, we're in a position to handle it. And I guess if we need to, right?
Handle what?
The 60 spaces that were there that are usually full during peak time. So that's what, you know, that's just, I'm just bringing that up is that's, you know, if you, it's already contentious.
Right.
And
so what exactly are you bringing up? I'm sorry, are you asking just for an expedited parking survey, parking study?
I just want us all to be thinking about how do we make the process move forward smoothly.
Right.
And it's not necessarily the expedited parking process, Mr. Mayor, but just that, you know, we're not looking at the two as completely separate because I don't think.
The two what?
Help me out.
the development versus what we're doing with parking. Because I think that, you know, it's, to me, it's for a lot of the people that are upset about the parking, if we have something going on to point to, it's like, hey, we've got this going on, and this is going to help offset that. And I do look at, you know, I've seen the space counts. I've been through some of that, some of the work that they've done. And, you know, to me, that's something that, you know, they're not public spaces today. And I do understand that they do have some that are open for public. So it's kind of, to me, this whole investigation that we're doing, you know, somewhat incorporate that. But, you know, for us to be ahead of the game is what I'm hoping. It sounds like we are, but I wanted us to be thinking about it. And just so I just wanted to bring that up, is that that's something that, if it does determine we need a garage downtown, how do we do that quickly? Where does it go? You know, what are these processes? Because I'm assuming if they get approval, they're going to want to go as fast as they can. And hopefully the city can keep up with them.
Okay.
So the other item I wanted to mention was I was at another Team Florida meeting, and Orlando is really doing a lot on the smart city front. And I don't know if staff is coordinating with them on some of the things that they're doing. But they've Charles Ramdot, if you guys know who Charles is, he was their assistant public works for years. He's basically consulting with them now to help them brand the smart city, a lot of on pedestrian safety and, you know, traffic movement and a lot of intelligent transportation. They're building the Sun Tracks down in Polk County now, which is going to be where they're going to, it's one of 10 across the country where they're studying using technology and transportation, and they've got all kinds of lots that they have planned and things to study. So anyway, so that's something that, you know, I'd like us to be aware of and, you know, be coordinating on. The other item that I wanted to bring up is one of my favorite subjects, is having the Utility Advisory Board investigate accelerating the undergrounding and ways to do that. And I would like to make a motion that we ask the Utility Advisory Board to investigate ways to accelerate our current underground program.
Well, it's not an official motion. You can ask for two other nods to ask the Utilities Advisory Board to consider something.
Yeah, my nod. Kurt, you are looking very
Is that a policy that the commission has adopted?
I just asked if I can make a motion, and he said,
"Okay,
if we'd like any of our boards to consider something, it's been tradition to have just three nods."
Got it.
Okay.
So we don't get two.
To do that right now, I think that they're working on other things.
I don't see any. You know, certainly, I know your passion for that subject. And I encourage you to talk to
the members of the board for the subject as well.
And you know, whether or not you get three nods or here doesn't stop the utilities board from thinking about that subject.
Well, I thought they typically did what we asked them to
do. Well, no, Commissioner Weldon makes, or Vice Mayor Weldon makes it's a valid point. I mean, if staff and the utilities advisory boards like to pick it up without directive from the commission, they can certainly do that. It's just usually if we're directing them, we usually expect them to take it up and bring it forward. I would say the only reason I don't support this is because every time we have discussed this in the past, they said it takes more money. And so that's I just don't want to send them on an errand that's just going to have them come back and say, yeah, we'd love to expedite it. We need more money. We need more manpower. But we have not been able to figure out a way to do both of those.
And I would be happy to meet with you.
Well, what I would submit is we have an entire new regime running our undergrounding program, and I'd be very interested to see what they can come up with.
I, for one, would be pleased to sit down with you in a notice public meeting with staff to discuss the dynamics of all those issues as we did prior to my being on the commission.
Okay.
So my distress with all of that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just about this comment is that we have spent a lot of time since I've been on the commission. That was one of my goals when I got here, was to speed up that. And the information kept coming in, and the information was pretty clear. If what this commissioner is saying is the information may change, that, you know, may be true, but it hasn't changed for me. Since people have been bringing it in, it's still going to cost more money, it's still going to tear the city up to a greater deal, and we don't, for my personal aspect, it did not seem like it was worth it to try to spend that money quicker and earlier, even though I agree with you, it would be great to have it underground faster. I just didn't see it. And so if we want to meet again on that, every time we've met, the same things come out. So I don't see the answer changing.
They're out your
list. That's why I don't support it.
That I haven't seen information that would change my mind, but again, I'm willing to meet with you. And
can I offer that, Mr. Weldon, to those comments, if you'd like to meet with staff, they can probably, because we have researched this over the years, they can probably at least give you what we've turned up thus far regarding timing and investment. And that will
I recall it, and if it's changed, I'll bring myself back up to speed.
Yeah, and if you'd like to come back to the commission and agree with and ask. That's okay. Mr. Sandell, anything else?
No. I will try and get something scheduled with you and Commissioner Weldon to go through it.
So this is making me really uncomfortable that you two think y'all want to go and meet about this.
No,
because
I just want to tell you how I feel because I'm here.
You say, I don't want to be invited. I want it to be right here in the open with everybody else, and we talk about it. So I don't like these little meetings on the side. I'm just going to tell you, okay? So now I'll tell you what I've done. I know they're public meetings, but this has happened 3 or 4 times where the two of you all want to talk, and that's all fine, but I don't agree with it.
I don't know how else to really have a conversation without getting one-on-one
or there's a reason there's a sunshine law in the state of Florida.
I realize that, and there's some good reasons and some bad reasons.
But so now let me tell you the only thing I got to add to the mix tonight is that...
I'm sorry, and can I just interrupt you there, because I want to make sure that anybody listening to this knows that any meeting between Commissioner Weldon and Commissioner Seidel will not be breaking the Sunshine Law in any way whatsoever. So anybody that's taking...
And I didn't mean to apply that.
I understand. No. Like sometimes people hear things differently.
Okay.
Okay. Commissioner.
So we had a cancer walk last Saturday at Lake Lily, and the city of Maitland looked great, and they had a lot of people out, and I was just there to represent the city. It was a wonderful morning.
Did you need more people with you? Is that?
I just one of those things they told me to go to, and I went. So I don't know why.
Is
so
we felt like Winter Park wasn't well represented.
Oh no, Winter Park is always well represented. But it was Eatonville, Winter Park, Maitland. They walked around Lake Lily, which was beautiful, and I really came out of there thinking Maitland's doing a lot of great things. I was very pleased. So I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed being the representative from Winter Park to see all of that. That's all.
Commissioner Cooper.
I don't have a thing today. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Vice Mayor
I had the pleasure of being the kickoff speaker at the 91st annual convention of the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs a couple weeks ago. And I had a wonderful time with 200 wonderful ladies and one man.
And who wouldn't? Right? I was told that the mayor of Winter Park spoke.
Well, I was introduced as the vice mayor, appropriately so. If someone wishes to associate me with the with mayordom, that would be their issue.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to forward all emails to you.
And other than that, I had a wonderful time, and I think the city of Winter Park's very well respected in the world of garden clubs, and rightfully so. And we just saw something from Randy before the meeting here, you know, talking about the city in bloom. And it's one of the things I get constantly when I talk to people and they find out that I live in Winter Park, not what my official duties are, but just that I live in Winter Park. They go, oh, my God, what a wonderful town. And I'm very proud to be associated with it and to try to help it maintain and improve that reputation.
Great. Thank you. One of the reasons I couldn't attend that morning is from a personal standpoint, my brother and I sponsor a villa over at Give Kids the World Village, which is just a tremendous facility that houses terminally ill children and their families, for the most part, when they come down to do the Make-A-Wish organization, when they do their Make-A-Wish at Universal or Disney or one of those. And we take half of our employees twice a year, full pay, and then we go and do whatever they ask us, clean playgrounds, clean pools, make up our villa. It's just, if anybody doesn't know about it, you're looking for a charity, it is just amazing to see these families come down there and get treated to a week's vacation when they are living some tough lives. And it's actually funny because we have a lot of the kids that are, a lot of the brothers and sisters come and help us pressure wash and do some of the other things. So it wasn't an official city item, but it's the reason I missed the morning that you handled for me, Peter, which I thank you. And I want to thank all of you for stepping in for me when I'm working on other items. So thank you for that. We are expecting a little bit more information from the state. There's not a lot of hope on a couple of things that we had in front of them and some of the items that we are fighting. We heard from the CRA that the CRA bill hopefully looks like it's dead. But some of the other things that the House is pushing through that really was there, the impetus came from them. We're not happy, we're unable to stop. Although we do have money in there for our Howell Branch Preserve project, hopefully, and we were able to, hopefully it gets passed by the governor and makes it past the governor. It still stays, but we're reconfiguring
the dollars. It allows us to use it for rehab and the property, too.
Yeah, so now it's just acquisition, it's rehab. So that was that's a nice win for us if we can get that.
Huge.
I do have a question.
Certainly.
If you were involved in this, or Kurt, if you know, will the Enterprise Florida situation impact the QTI that we just approved?
No. Can't.
That was prior budgeted money?
Mm-hmm. Did you check on that?
We have 5 o'clock. We always try to take citizen comments at 5 o'clock. We're 9 minutes earlier than that, so I will open up the floor to public comment. If anybody's wishing to address the commission on an item that's not on this agenda, please, Ms. Scalato.
Donna Collado, 327 Beloit. Another beautiful day in Winter Park. Mm. But like tonight, I was late arriving at the last commission meeting. So I was surprised when someone told me the commission had voted to authorize staff to take the necessary steps to broker the sale of the bowling alley property. My response was, I didn't see that on the agenda. Much to my surprise, it was there, camouflaged in the consent agenda. I spent several hours at my computer trying to find other examples where authorization for staff to broker sale of city property was confirmed with a vote of the consent agenda. Now, I was unable to find another example, but my limited time and limited research skills could have precluded me from a thorough search. So I'll be happy if anyone could verify where this procedure has been used in the past. It appears to be that most of the discussions and votes are included under action items requiring discussion. While I'm sure it was a legal action, it appears to be inconsistent with past procedures and poses the question, why?
Thank you. Anyone else? Nope. Okay, folks, we're adjourned. Thanks so much.
Thank you.